Thank you to Bradley Wallace and the Wallace Firm, proud partner of the Lakers Talk Podcast.
Thanks, Alan. Our team at the Wallace Firm is excited and proud to partner with the Lakers Talk Podcast. If you're injured and you need a win, call 844-844-WINS or go to wallacewins.com.
Lakers Talk is on. Is on. From the winning tradition of the Los Angeles Lakers.
You got 19 or 20 years to play with the Lakers.
Yeah, 19 or 20 at least.
It's over, and the most valuable player is Magic Johnson.
Kobe underneath gives it up. Sends it to Kareem. Skyhook up and good.
To future legends of the purple and gold.
LeBron on a breakaway, and the first basket of his Laker career is a tomahawk dunk.
There is not a better duo in the NBA than LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
It's going to be fun for sure. I'll put our roster up against anybody.
Here's Alan Sliwa.
D in L.A., you're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, D.
Yes, I just want to say I appreciate the show. You're one of the only hosts that really knows what they're talking about.
But sure. I wouldn't be too confident about that. No, I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
I just want to say it's crazy.
Still there, D?
I just want to say that it's kind of crazy that we keep losing to the same type teams and nobody's talking about it. Mm-hmm. We're losing to quick athletic teams. I think we have a speed problem. Mm-hmm. The Celtics, the Bucks, and the Clippers all play the same weight, and we keep losing to them. And because we have a good record, everything is perfect.
So, D, do you think, like, I think that's part of the conversation when I was starting the show. Look, I love where the Lakers are sitting, right? 34-9, you're atop of the Western Conference. But, yeah, there are some concerns, you know? Just the way you described it, where you've lost to some elite teams that you're going to eventually face come postseason, whether you like it or not. Do you feel like there needs to be some kind of changes with this roster before the trade deadline and before the buyout? Because once that's over, that's all you got.
Oh, listen, I did not like our roster at the beginning of the season. I foresee the problems we're going to have. If we have, first of all, we should put Kuzma in a starting lineup at the two. I just feel that it'll help us become more athletic and we'll be a harder team to guard. I feel like our problems are defensive. We can't guard the quick point guards, and you can't expect LeBron James in his 17th season to guard Jaylen Brown, Tatum, Kawhi Leonard, or the Greek Freak. I just think that we have a flawed roster, and I think we've been beating a lot of watered-down teams, and LeBron is such a cerebral player, he can beat half the NBA just by being smart. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about teams that match up with us. We have a serious problem.
That's when I go back to, and I appreciate you calling into the show, that's when I go back to a wing player. We need a wing defender. An athletic wing defender. By the way, he doesn't have to be an athlete. You know, where he's 25 years old, he jumps through the gym. No, somebody that understands defense, wants to play defense. That's an experienced player. That's the position where I feel like, we have our most holes at. Funches, am I crazy on this?
Not at all.
What do you think about D Rose? Are you a, Derrick Rose, look, can get you numbers off the bench. I guess I prioritize defense over offense.
I don't know how he's going to fit in with the team. Mm-hmm. You know, Detroit, they don't really have a lot of scoring options or whatever. So Derrick Rose is the scoring option in Detroit. That's why he's putting up these insane numbers.
He's taking a lot of shots. By the way, I think he's shooting efficiently. I want to say he's shooting about 50% from the field. But there is part of that, right? You get one shot at this.
Yeah.
You either get somebody that can be more of a defensive, kind of have more of a defensive focus, or you're grabbing somebody that is more offensive-minded.
I think that's why we got to go Collison. He's more defensive-minded. He's more of a steady hand. You never know where we're going to get with Derrick Rose.
And here's the difference. You know what the difference is between Derrick Rose and Darren Collison?
What's that?
The difference is one you have to trade for, the other one you can just sign.
Big difference right there, Alan.
I mean, think about that. That's a humongous difference, because if you're grabbing Darren Collison off the buyout market, by the way, what happened to Darren Collison? Wasn't it hot for a couple minutes and then everything
all of a sudden
just went
just cooled
quiet?
Down,
I wonder if everything just went quiet because they have to, you know, let things play out. You know, I think Collison even wants to see, okay, what are certain teams going to do? Where's my best chance to win an NBA championship? I'm sure he's
curious. He has to look at all of his offers.
He's got to look at all the options out there. But that's the big difference between those two players. If there are Laker fans out there that say, no, don't get rid of Kyle Kuzma. If you're going to trade Kuzma, don't have it be for a role player. Have it be for somebody that's more valuable.
if that's the case, that's what Darren Collison can give you. Collison can be a player that gets slotted in on this roster, and you get to keep Kuzma. If you're trading for Derrick Rose, there's no team that's going to make a deal for the Lakers with the Lakers and not ask for Kyle Kuzma in that deal.
And salaries match up, too. Salaries match up.
The Lakers, by the way, would have trouble with... I'm going to actually, when Brian Windhorst comes on, that's something I want to spend a little bit of time on, because Lakers have some complicated salaries. KCP, you know, you could offer him in a trade. KCP can decide, no, I'm staying right here, because he has that option. And KCP, you know, I'm not throwing him under the bus, because he's been great for the Lakers so far this year.
Really want to trade Daniels or Cook or even Caruso? Those guys play defense. They shoot the ball well. And you're going to need that in the playoffs.
I was saying this in the post game yesterday. Whatever it takes to improve your chances to win an NBA championship, I'm all in for. So, by the way, if that means Daniels or Cook or Caruso or Kuzma, any of these players, if you got a shot to improve your chances at an NBA championship this season, I'm all in. I'm taking that chance. I'm taking that risk. What I don't want is, if you traded for Derrick Rose and Kyle Kuzma, and let's say another player off your roster is gone, do you feel like now everybody's running through you? I don't feel that. You know what I mean? Like, Derrick Rose can offer something that would be beneficial to the Lakers, but do I feel like Derrick Rose is the difference now of beating the Clippers or not? I don't feel that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. He's not the guy that's going to put you over the hump if you have to give up Kyle Kuzma or something.
And you're
like
losing
that.
Kuz.
Exactly.
You know, so it's not like, if you just add a player in the buyout market, that's different. If you're trading Kuz and you're trading another piece and you're bringing in Derrick Rose, to me, Derrick Rose is not the player that all of a sudden is going to get you over the top. All right, you guys know how we do this. Shootout with myself and Funches. Appreciate all the callers that called in. If you're around right now and you're driving around Southern California listening to the broadcast, thank you for doing that. If you're listening on the app, thank you for doing that. Shootout coming up next. Brian Windhorst coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA. Lakers taking on the New York Knicks tomorrow. On Thursday, they got the Brooklyn Nets. And then they got the Philadelphia 76ers coming up on Saturday. We don't know yet if Joel Embiid will go in that game. Clippers-Dallas, what a great game right now. What a great game. 108-105. Clippers got the ball with 24 seconds left. They got a 3-point lead over the Dallas Mavericks.
It's just been Kawhi versus Luka in the last minute, man.
Yeah, it's been, this is what's going to make the postseason so good. The matchups are going to be amazing. You know, imagine in the first round, it's, Rockets in Utah. Or this is the first round, Clippers in Dallas, whatever the case is.
What if the Pelicans somehow get the number 8? And the Lakers are playing Zion, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram in the first round.
Oh, I have definitely thought of that one.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Maverick stole the inbound, got off a good three, and I think it was Tim Hardaway Jr. missed the three. Luka actually passed it. He thought he would have taken it. So looks like Clippers are going to get this win. Turn off all the TVs. I don't want to watch the games anymore. Alright, let's get some shootouts started.
Lakers Talk with Alan Silva. And it's time for a shootout. Shootout now on Lakers Talk.
Punches, I got some good news for you.
What's up, man?
Shootout is presented by the Wallace Firm. Injured, need a win, you need the Wallace Firm. Proven trial lawyers who can get you a W for your case if you're injured. Get the W. Call 844-844-WINS or WallaceWINS.com. No win, no fee. 844-844-WINS or WallaceWINS.com so Wallace can win for you. The mic is yours, Funches.
All right, man. Let's get this thing started.
Good weekend, by the way.
Good weekend, man. Good weekend.
Football. Talk to me about you. Do you watch a lot of these games? Do you watch both games on Sunday?
Yeah, I didn't. Oh, man. I watched I watched the 49ers blow out the Packers.
49ers blow out the Packers. Earlier game was better. Titans, Chiefs was much better.
Yeah.
I thought when the 49ers Packers game was going on in my head, I was like, you know what? Fox, just go to a different network.
And you know what? Now I see a bunch of like 49er fans just coming out the woodworks.
Ooh, they're all coming out.
Oh my God. On Monday morning driving here, I think I saw like 5 cars with the 49er flags.
Okay, I'm going to give Jesse his credit. Yeah. Jesse says he's a 49ers fan. We give him all credit. but I have not seen Jesse's 49ers yet since this run.
Oh, I seen it. I saw it on Monday, man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Since the run, I started seeing it. All right, what do you got over there?
This season, we back. And then the next year, we're going to be back, back, back.
Thank you, Magic.
Oh, appreciate it, Magic.
Thank you, Magic.
Magic hopping in.
Sure.
Magic hopping in.
All right. The huge news today is that Chris Paul did an interview with SI. Did you see this, Alan?
I did not see
it. Where he revealed he will not give up his $44 million player option he has for next year in pursuit of joining a real contender. Paul wants to stick it out in OKC, saying he's excited to be a Thunder. Now, OKC is a surprise 7th seed in the West right now at 25-19. Do you think we will see CP3 change his mind if he had a real shot at going to a contender?
You can't. By the way, he's lucky that the Thunder are playing good basketball.
Yeah, because I think if they were in the lottery, like, you know, if they had like 12 wins or something like the Knicks, then he would be asking out like yesterday.
We know they're not going to win a chip. We know he's not going to have a chance at winning an NBA championship. By the way, you never know. I mean, they might be sellers anyways. The Thunder might trade away Gallinari, might trade, you know, like
they have a lot of tradable assets that a lot of people, a lot of players on that team that a lot of teams would want.
They may do that anyways, right? Like that could happen. But if you're Chris Paul, it's a no-brainer. It's nothing personal. It's just business. It's $44 million.
Jeez.
It would be careless of him to do anything different. I get it. I don't blame at all. We've seen players, by the way. We've seen like guys like David West.
Yeah.
We've seen guys give up $10 million, $12 million. That's crazy, right?
Yeah, that is crazy.
But they wanted a chance at a chip. They went and pursued it. $44 million, that's next level. You can't... That's just way too much money to leave on the table.
Yeah, like I just said, I think if he was playing for a 12-win team right now, he would want out and he would say...
I still don't think he would do it.
You don't think?
44 mil.
He makes enough money.
But 44 mil.
But this is his legacy, Alan. You know, if he doesn't win a chip, he doesn't go down in history as one of the greatest point guards ever.
His legacy would be if he gave up 44 mil and still didn't win a chip. That would be his legacy.
But then
legacy.
He's a Karl Malone. He's a Charles Barkley. He's, you know, a John Stockton. He's a guy that never won. He puts up these mad numbers, but he doesn't win.
Chris Paul had a fantastic career. He will never go down as anything more than, you know, an amazing career that was a big piece of a lot of good teams. If that's his, you know, if that's his label, maybe over the next couple of years he can find himself on another team, but... I got to be honest, man. I wouldn't be giving up that type of change.
No matter what happens with his career, he's still a top five point guard, you know, of all time to me.
Well, he's accomplished a lot, and one thing that I would not like him to have on his title is giving up the $44 million.
And I was happy Kurt was back.
Me too, Magic. Me too. He put together a good team.
Magic's on the show. By the way, Clippers are going to get this win. Dallas had 39 chances to tie the game. They choked. Clippers are going to win. Go ahead.
All right. We know Zion Williamson will make his season debut tomorrow as the Pelicans will take on the San Antonio Spurs. I think the game's on ESPN as well.
What time is that game at? Is it a little bit later? Because Lakers are at 4:30.
I think it's a little bit later. I think it's at 6:30 or something like that.
We'll get to see
it when we're doing a game tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. Well, and breaking news, too. He's going to even get the start in his first game back.
Okay.
So Yahoo Sports ran a story in which an anonymous Western Conference GM said this about Zion. I wouldn't have taken him number one even back then. I would have taken Ja or traded back to pick up as many picks as I could. Now, knowing what you know about Ja Morant and knowing what you still don't know about Zion, would you take Ja Morant over Zion if you're a GM of a franchise?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I mean, Ja Morant looks like he's going to be a player in this league for a number of years. He's today's NBA. He can push the ball up the court. Mm-hmm. He's athletic as hell. He's a highlight reel. Yeah. He's a fun player to watch. He's making a lot of his players better. I know Zion, MT and I have this conversation all the time that Zion comes up. Guy's got to get, you know, he's got to take care of his body.
Yeah.
He's got to drop 25, 30 pounds.
Well, it's hard to do that when you're in New Orleans where all the food is good.
Like, Ingram's not having any issues.
I know, right?
No, but no joke. He's got so much weight that he's got to lose. It's going to be very, very tough. I'm not telling you that Zion's going to be a bust or any of that. Zion can be, he reminds me of, you know, Charles Barkley when he first came in.
Yeah.
But Barkley lost weight. Actually, MT tells a story where Moses Malone basically told Barkley, You're too bleeping fat.
And he doesn't have, like, a veteran on that team to tell him to do
Drew Holiday, maybe.
Yeah, but he's not Moses Malone.
No, he's not. But here is that is the bottom line with Zion. He's got to be in game shape. He can't be a player at 280, 285 in today's NBA.
Well, I mean, if we're going to take a sample test, did you see him in a preseason? I mean, he was shooting like 9 for 12 from the field, scoring 25 points, and all of his shots were basically, you know, inside of 5 feet.
Funches, it's not that he can't be productive. It's too much impact on his knees.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just to carry that much weight. Imagine if he lost 20, 25 pounds and he has that athleticism. Mm-hmm. The way he's going to be flying up and down, it's more important because of his health. And we saw that he obviously missed a big chunk of the season because of his health.
I still think he's going to be really, really good. I don't know if I would take Ja, or I don't know if I would take him over Ja right now, but I got to see Zion probably play 10 games before I make that determination.
Yeah.
Lazy?
Who?
Magic Johnson?
Me or Funches?
What?
Me or Funches are lazy?
Lazy?
Man.
Nah, man.
He called me lazy, bro.
All right. Houston, we have a problem. Mm-hmm. As the Rockets have lost 4 straight in 5 of the last 6 games, including giving up a 15-point
lead.
They
look great.
Midway through the fourth quarter last night and losing to the OKC Thunder. Now, James Harden tied his own mark by making only 1 out of 17 three-point attempts. Now, says Harden, when you're playing well, we're playing well, and you just stop doing the things that get us the lead, sooner or later we're going to put on a four-quarter game together and build off of that. We're more than capable. We show really good signs, but we just have some lapses. Alan, what's wrong with the Rockets right now?
Bunches, it's just that style of basketball. You know I've always been hard on James Harden. I've been critical of that style of basketball.
It seems like everyone here is hard on James Harden.
Well, look, it's impressive the numbers he puts up. I would be, you know, he is putting up crazy numbers. I think he's averaging 37 points a game and 7 assists, 7 rebounds.
Yeah, on a regular NBA year without Giannis or LeBron putting up these insane numbers, James Harden's your MVP.
He has crazy numbers and what he's accomplished so far this year is impressive. But it's not winning basketball. I'm sorry. You can't have one player in a game of 5 guys on the court at the same time. One individual is not going to get it done. So to have one player dribbling the ball for 20 seconds of a 24-second shot clock, that doesn't seem like a recipe for success. I'm not a fan of that style of basketball. I'm not a fan of how they built that roster. I was curious to see how him and Westbrook would do, but the bottom line is you got teams like the Thunder that play team basketball, the Nuggets, the Utah Jazz, the Clippers, the Lakers. How are you going to get out of the West with that style?
I just don't know if...
And you don't play defense.
I don't know if the Westbrook and Harden mix works. It looks like it was working, but lately it hasn't been working.
They took a chance. They gambled.
Yeah.
Gamble's not paying off.
Looks like they should have just kept Chris Paul and just try to ride it out with him.
And the problem with Chris Paul was Harden, it didn't seem like got along with Chris Paul.
Harden, listen.
They had chances to win a chip when it was Chris Paul and James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people would say that's a better combination than Russell Westbrook and James Harden. But it's a chance they took. They got out of that contract, which is what they were trying to do, and they did that. I just don't think they have any chance in the Western Conference.
And another reason why they're playing so horribly and why their record is the record what it is, they had a lot of injuries this year. Clint Capella, he was out for an extended period
of time. Eric Gordon was out for a little while.
Eric Gordon's off and on out of the lineup right now. And even Westbrook, Harden, they've been injured a couple times too.
So they were full strength against the Lakers. You know, we watched that game and LeBron just sliced and diced them.
It seems like they gave them their best shot in the first half and then the Lakers took over.
Make their adjustments. So I just don't think in a 7-game set anybody should be scared of the Rockets.
Smart guy.
Well, thank you. Thanks for complimenting Alan.
I think that was to you.
Thank you very much. All right, a little game time. With Damian Lillard scoring 61 points last night, he joined an elusive club, has players to have multiple 60-point games. Now, only six players in NBA history have had multiple 60-point games, Dame being one of them. Can you name the other 5, Allen? And I'll give you 3 strikes to figure it out. I will give you hints.
Okay, well, Kobe.
There is 1.
Michael Jordan.
There's 2.
LBJ. Who else is in the 60 category? All right, David Robinson had 70. Did David Robinson also have a 60?
Is that one of your answers?
Yes. I already knew that was a setup too.
He only had one.
He only had one.
He won that one.
All right, who else? Who else
I'll give
60?
You, let's see, one of the guys is playing currently.
One guy playing currently has had multiple 60-point games. James Harden.
There you go.
Okay.
Former Laker. Former Laker great.
Former Laker great.
It's at the top of the list.
Wilt? Yeah, of course, Wilt. What am I doing? Wilt averaged 50 in a season.
Also, another former Laker.
Yeah.
Used to be a former GM.
Jerry West? Jerry West got... Who is it?
Elgin.
Oh, Elgin.
Elgin had three.
Okay.
And then Damian Lillard. That's your six right there. Wilt, Kobe, James Harden, Michael Jordan, Elgin Baylor, and Damian Lillard.
There you go. I'm going to use that tomorrow for the pregame show with Michael Thompson.
Could you please test Michael Thompson out?
I'm going to jack MT on that one.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no, I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Magic. All right. My favorite thing to talk about, Alan, right now is Hollywood relationships.
Okay.
And what do I see on TMZ right now? The top story is our guy, Kyle Kuzma, is on a date with actress Vanessa Hudgens.
Okay.
Do you know who she is?
I'm going to go take a quick look right now.
If you don't know who she is, she was a star of Disney's High School Musical back in the day and other movies as well. I believe she's in the new Bad Boys that just came out. Now, did you get a good look at her?
Still going.
Okay.
Still going. Buy me a little bit of time.
Okay, but are you for or against our guy, Kyle, going Hollywood and starting to date these actresses? in a slump. He's in a slump right now.
I think no matter what, Kuzma's already Hollywood. We're not getting Kuzma back. Kuzma's full throttle Hollywood at the moment.
Is he at the point of no return with the blonde hair and, you know?
He's doing his thing.
Let's just say that.
He's doing his thing. Look, get results. Make it happen on the basketball court. Nobody's going to care about what you do off the court. Actually, they will in LA, but that comes with the territory.
Yeah. Kyle, I think you should run away from her and get your game right, man, before you get traded out of town.
He's been up and down this year. He's had some good games. He's had some games where we're looking for more, but that's Kyle Kuzma in a nutshell. But that's what he's going to give you every night. Every night he's going to give you something, and the next night you're not going to have an idea of what he gives you.
He's shooting three-pointers off the court, I'll tell you that. And that's all I got for you, man.
I'm not going to be here.
Thank you, Magic.
Appreciate it, Funches. All right, let's do this. Brian Windhorse covers the NBA for ESPN. Let's talk to him about where the Lakers sit right now. If he thinks the Lakers, as constructed, is good enough, or there should be some changes made. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA.
Welcome back to Lakers Talk. We got Brian Windhorse, who covers the NBA for ESPN, hopping on the show. Brian, thanks for taking some time and hopping on. I know you had the jump today. You got SportsCenter hits and a little bit of time for Lakers Talk, so it's greatly appreciated.
Yeah, I wish... It's a bad week to be in LA because of Grammy week. The teams are out of town. So as a result, I have time to kill. It's unfortunate. I wish I was out there with them.
You know, what's funny is this being my first year that I'm doing the pre and post games for every game, there's kind of a relaxation when the Lakers go, when they go out on the road. I feel like everything is less hectic. You can imagine just
that's true.
Staples Center across the street and everything else. But Brian, I wanted to start off by asking you one of the main reasons why I like having you on. I feel like anytime, you know, obviously we're talking Lakers basketball, you're going to be as real as, you know, obviously anybody. And that's not to say other people aren't, but I feel like the way you give Lakers credit when they deserve it and the way that you scrutinize certain parts of what's going on within the organization or moves that they made, I feel like it's spot on both ends of it. So first question I want to ask you, Lakers got the best record in the Western Conference. They lost yesterday by 32 to the Boston Celtics. They've lost twice to the Clippers so far this year, and they have a loss against the Milwaukee Bucks as well. Do you think this team... I know there's one side of it that just looks at the record, and then I'm obviously bringing up some key losses against upper echelon teams in the league. Do you think this is the team to beat right now in the NBA, or do you feel like that's not the case?
No, I think the Clippers are probably, they'd be my favorite to win the title. They have not come together yet, for sure. If the finals started today, I wouldn't feel as good about them, but I still think the Clippers are the team to beat. The thing that I like, my favorite thing about the Lakers is the way they defend. Because they defend at this level and because the personnel that they have on defense really fits the system that Frank Vogel has going, I think I give them a fighting chance in any series, because they're going to defend and that you're going to probably have the best player in most series. You could argue about Kawhi, but that would be a heck of a series you'd want to see. It is a little bit worrisome that the Lakers haven't performed better against the absolute top of the league, that, you know, they lost in Boston, that they lost in Milwaukee, that they had the two losses against the Clippers. I really am looking forward to that week that they have in March, where they have the Sixers, I think it's the Sixers, Bucks, and Clippers. I can't remember what order it's in. All three in a row. And that'll be early March, and all, you know, transactions will be done. We'll know what the rosters of all those teams are going to be. You hope for health. And that, to me, is like, we're going to learn a lot about the Lakers in that week. But I think they're, you know, I think they're a phenomenal team. I think in a series with the Bucks, I would say it would really be a toss-up, because I was fine the way that the Lakers defended the Bucks. Giannis made 5 3-pointers. Mm-hmm. If you were playing him in a series, you'd say, okay, you made 5 3-pointers. We're going to play the same way in the next game, and maybe it would go the other way. I'm not worried about that, but, I mean, I wish that they had shown a little bit more teeth against these great teams.
Yeah, and I think, look, it's easy to kind of look at the schedule, and not just the schedule, but look at the standings and say, okay, Lakers are atop the Western Conference. And I agree. Look, they have a chance against any team in the league, but from a comfort level, you kind of sit back and say, all right, is this team, does it have enough right now as is, as constructed, to where you're walking into the postseason saying, yep, that's the team to beat? And I think that's the question mark, because it's not just these upper echelon teams that they've, you know, lost against. I think it's remarkable that they had won 22 in a row against teams below 500. You don't see that all that often as well. So there's, you know, some positives and negatives, but I think there's also a little bit of doubt. I think there's, you don't have a feeling where everybody's going through the Lakers. What is it by these next couple of weeks with the trade deadline and with the buyout, without mentioning a player or anything like that, what is it that you think the Lakers need most? What do you think the priority is going to be? And do you think they have enough to try and improve the roster to where yourself and other people would say, yep, this NBA championship is going through the Lakers?
Yeah, I'm not there yet. It could end up being true. I'm just not there yet. I mean, really, this team reminds me a lot of the LeBron team that he had in Cleveland in 2008-09. That was his first truly great regular season team. People were positive about them, but nobody foresaw them winning 66 games as they did. It was a magical regular season. But during that regular season, when the Lakers came in, they beat the Cavs, and the Cavs came out to L.A., the Lakers won. They got beaten up by the Magic during that season. They got beaten up by the Celtics. When it came down to it, they were not quite at that level. Now, that team didn't have Anthony Davis on it.
Sure.
You know, that's a huge difference between then and now. I think that they need another perimeter defender. I think they need another ball handler just to be safe. The ball handler is lower on the list. Just when you play the Clippers, let's just assume health. You're just going to need so many minutes in those games of defending Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and Kawhi is going to wear you out. He's just a beast. Now, the comeback that Lakers fans have said to me on that is, well, somebody's got to guard Anthony Davis. I agree. That is a thing. But I will tell you that I trust more in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George's postseason resumes than I do Anthony Davis. Anthony has been a little bit inconsistent in the postseason. Now, he hasn't had that many opportunities, and he's had a few good games, but he's been a little bit inconsistent. So I just think that ideally you'd like to get one more perimeter defender, because you are going to need that player against the Clippers, I promise.
Well, I'll say this. You know, when it comes to Anthony Davis, I think, look, and everyone would say the same thing, top five in the NBA. I think one of the glaring things with AD is, okay, this is going to be our first real opportunity. I know he's been to the postseason before. I know he's got to the second round, but this is different. You know, this year, the expectations are going to be on AD's shoulder, and
you know, I got confident that this guy can come out and he could prove that not only can he do it in the regular season, not only could he be defensive player of the year potentially this season, but also prove it in the postseason, but it is going to be a different type of pressure. It's going to be the pressure of wearing the Los Angeles Lakers jersey. It's going to be the pressure of him never having been expected to win an NBA championship or get as far as obviously the Lakers' expectations are. It's playing with LeBron James. I'm curious, Brian, and I know we got a few months left to go, but this is there's going to be a lot of eyes and attention, not just on LBJ, but Anthony Davis as well.
Yeah, and I'm really anxious to see it, to be honest with you. I want to see how they do together, and they have the fit together that has a championship. You know, their fit together is a championship level type of player, type of two-headed monster. They can do it, and the one thing that, if you're asking me why I think the Lakers could do it this year, it's because they defend. And they defend so well that they may be able to overcome any awkwardness or chemistry issues being in the playoffs for the first time, or even playing a slightly more talented team. I think the Clippers are a slightly more talented team. That's what they have to hang their hat on. What you hope when a guy like Anthony Davis is that in a playoff series, he has one or two transcendent performances, that you're on the road, it's 2-2 in game five, or maybe that wouldn't happen, Lakers would have home court, but it's a 2-2 game five, and he puts up 38, 13, and four blocks. This is what LeBron's entire career is. You go back and look at these, you know, you remember the all-time great games, the game seven against the Warriors, game six when he beat the Celtics in the conference finals, game seven against the Spurs. But trust me, there are dozens of games in there where it was 2-1 or 1-1 in a playoff series, and LeBron came up with, you know, 43, 12, and 8. And what you want is a guy like Anthony Davis who can deliver that a couple of times in the playoff series. That's the difference between making the conference finals or having a seven-game hard out and holding the trophy at the end. Lakers fans have seen that for years with the great players. They've all got statues outside the arena. That's what you want Anthony Davis to be, a guy who begins a case for a statue.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that pressure on AD too, because here's a player walking into his prime. We saw, you know, we're watching what LeBron is doing at age 35, and whether it's 15 assists on one night or it's 28 points in another, whatever the case is, or he's doing it all in one game, I have confidence that Anthony Davis can do it, but it's one thing to do it in the regular season. It's one thing to do it with the Pelicans. That's why I'm kind of referencing to the postseason here. It's going to be a lot of eyes on him, and I'm looking forward to that. Another question I wanted to ask you. So what do you think is more likely? If you're Rob Pelinka right now, you've said this a couple times, and I think it's an interesting argument when you hop on the jump or you host it like you did earlier today. When the conversation comes about the Lakers and trying to improve the roster, you've mentioned this, that Pelinka, in a sense, he's got so much challenges in front of him because of what he has to work with. And a lot of that goes back to when the Lakers made that AD deal. I just want to get your thoughts. Is it more likely that the Lakers improve their roster and some of these positions that you're talking about in some type of a trade or in the buyout market?
I just think that the trade is going to be too tough to pull off for any legitimate piece. Even if you were willing to move Kuzma, and if I were them, I'd be really cautious about that, because I just think Kuzma's upside is there. I don't think that the fit right now is great, but boy, would I not feel great if I traded Kuzma for a role player, and then he goes over and is averaging, you know, 23 points for that team that you traded him to next year. I think especially because they're so limited with their draft picks, and even the draft picks that they're going to have, they're going to be low draft picks because their swap rights, and also you're figuring them having great records, they're going to have low draft picks. It's just going to be hard to get high upside players, and that's why I just think you got to be careful with Kuzma. So it's just really hard. The other thing is, in being around the Lakers, they believe, I think, that DeMarcus Cousins is going to have a chance to play at some point this season. And so when I talk to other teams out there and we talk about what the Lakers could potentially offer, they often toss DeMarcus Cousins into trade deals because they think you have to build up the amount of salary to get a real player coming back. I don't think the Lakers want to trade DeMarcus Cousins. I think they want to hang on to him with the idea that he can recover from that knee injury and that maybe you could use him in a playoff series against Denver or another team where you could use that big man against Utah or something like that, where he, even if he could only play 5 or 6 minutes, it would make a big deal. So if a couple of your guys have no trade clauses like they do, and you don't want to trade, you know, your injured guy at the end of the bench, and you got to have a high standard for what you're going to trade Kuzma for, it's hard to put something together, to be honest with you.
Brian, can we have you for a few more minutes here?
Sure.
All right, everybody stay right here. Brian Windhorst on Lakers Talk. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA. Hi, welcome back to Lakers Talk. Brian Windhorst joining the show. Brian, right before we went to break there, I was asking you about, I was asking specifically, it's more likely the Lakers make a trade to improve the roster or in some type of a buyout. Real quick on Kuzma. Kuzma's been the chat and the conversation, definitely in LA, and I'm sure it's been a national story as well, where it just comes to, it seems like he's trade bait if the Lakers do anything or if they don't. You mentioned something that you would hate that the Lakers obviously give up such a, young asset for a role player. Pretty much if the Lakers do get rid of Kyle Kuzma, you have to imagine that the only way it gets done, and we want to talk about pressure on Pelinka, is you better win an NBA championship, right? I mean, if you got a role player that you felt like, okay, Kyle Kuzma's gone now, if you're going to make that type of a move, it's different when you traded Ingram, Lonzo, all these other players. You got Anthony Davis. AD's top five. He's walking into his prime. But I see your theory here on the Kuzma part. Do you agree that if a move like that happens, it better make the Lakers the front runner?
I mean, I don't know if that trade exists. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just the thing, like, I can tell you just from being around teams with LeBron over the years, they have to make these kind of tough choices about cashing out assets that they have, and those are, they're just not that many there. Mm-hmm. And I understand why the Lakers fans sometimes get frustrated with me when I complain about what they gave up for Anthony Davis, because they say, we have a Hall of Famer, a top 5-6 player in the league right now, who cares what they gave up? That's true in a vacuum, but the reality is that you're going to need those assets later. And the reason I have been critical of that, what they gave up, was because I really thought it was only a one-team negotiation. If they were bidding against four other teams, it would have been different. And so that's the thing. Like, the other thing is, when you build a team through the salary cap space, which is what the Lakers essentially did, you're always going to be a little bit hard up for a year because you don't have trade assets. It's hard to trade guys for various reasons who just signed. So this, on the other, what I would say is, over, if you look at the next couple of seasons, this will probably be the weakest Laker team that there is, because they will get another transaction cycle. They will get their mid-level exception and their biannual exception, and whoever other free agents they can sign next summer to add to this roster. And some of the players that are harder to trade this year may be easier to trade next year. The first year is what requires sometimes to sort of gut your way through it. This definitely was the case in Miami with when LeBron was there, and you see it in other teams that have built through free agency. I would say if you're going to get the Lakers out there, teams, try to get him in 2020, because I don't know about 2021 or 2022 if it's going to go your way. The only X factor in that, the only thing that would cause you pause if you're in the Lakers organization when it comes to Kyle Kuzma, is your superstar player is 35 years old. And, you know, if you think you can move the ball 5 yards downfield in the Kuzma trade with a 35-year-old player, I can see how you could justify that. So I got to believe that this has been something that's been discussed at length with the Lakers about Kuzma, because this is a very, very important decision, whether to keep him. If you do keep him, to sign into a contract extension in the fall, whether that's something you're going to do, or if you want to try to move on from him. These are very big, important decisions, because they're just not going to have many transactions they can make over the next year or two.
This is where Rob Pelinka will earn his money and that title. You know, promotion that he got of being the president, the GM, I mean, everything that you could think of. These are critical situations. I keep emphasizing this, Brian. I talk about how these next couple of weeks, you know, these next 2.5 weeks or so,
this could be the difference of a championship or not. And by the way, that's not just the Lakers. I want to kind of transition a little bit, talk about some of the other teams in the Western Conference. If you're the Denver Nuggets or the Houston Rockets or the Utah Jazz, the Dallas Mavericks, I could go up and down the list. Can any of these teams, I already know the answer here, but you can kind of give me what your thoughts are. None of these teams can stand pat. If they do, in my opinion, they're basically saying, okay, the Lakers or the Clippers are coming out of the West because they're all a step behind. I'll take my chances with the Lakers. And if you're the Clippers, you're saying the same thing in a seven-game set against all of these teams. Who do you think potentially makes a move, and who do you think has to make a move? Is it all the teams I'm talking about, or is it are some of these teams young enough to decide, you know what, we're going to wait a year or two before we put all our chips on the table?
Well, if I'm Denver, I'm getting very seriously antsy about this is my chance. Because, like I said, I think the Clippers and Lakers are only going to get stronger next year. When you give them time together and you give their front offices another chance at a free agent cycle, even though they may not have major cap space, just to bring in another role player or two. I think the Lakers will be better next year. I think the Clippers will be better next year. The Nuggets, a big portion of their team are free agents. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep these guys. And so if I were the Nuggets, I would seriously be considering what big move can I make to try to make a swing this year. The challenges are that their owner has been reluctant to go into the tax in the past. Yeah. He has gone into the tax, Dan Kroenke, who owns the Rams. He has gone into the tax in the past, but this year they're about $600,000 below it. And, you know, you would need ownership approval to go over that threshold there. Do they want to do that? The second thing is, like, what player is there? You know, I don't think Jrue Holiday is going to be available. Yeah, they could probably do a Kevin Love trade, but they have Paul Millsap. Mm-hmm. Is that really an upgrade for them? Like, I think they should be eyeing a big move, but there may not be a big move to be made. Mm-hmm. Utah has already made a move. It wouldn't surprise me if they look at one more to potentially just boost their bench a little bit, but I think they kind of are who they are. And I think that they're a dangerous team, but I don't think they're beating the Lakers or Clippers in a seven-game series if everyone's healthy.
How about in the as we look over to the Eastern Conference? I thought it was interesting yesterday. Obviously, the game Lakers didn't get up for. You lose by 32 points. You gave up 139 points. The Eastern Conference, as you look at the Celtics, Miami, Milwaukee, the Sixers, Toronto, and Indiana. Indiana should have Victor Oladipo back at some point here. What teams do you think pose the biggest threat to the Bucks, or do you feel like the Bucks are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference and everybody else is looking up?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about the Nuggets mulling a move. I think the team in the East that may mull a move is the, believe it or not, the Toronto Raptors and the Miami Heat. I think both of them sitting there at number 2-3 in the East must wonder if there's a move that they can make to sort of elevate them. You know, Milwaukee on paper has it all. They're a top three offense. They're a top three defense. They have tremendous depth. They don't play their guys very many minutes, so there should be relative, you know, rest. They're almost certainly going to get the number one seed. They're going to have home court advantage. They may have home court advantage against any team that comes out of the West. I mean, I can sit here and go on and on about the Bucks. My thing about the Bucks is the game plan against them is somewhat clear. You make Giannis shoot three-pointers, mm-hmm. and I know that people are like, oh, Giannis is much better at threes now. Well, he's making 31% of them. You know, I think that's an acceptable number, and I think over a seven-game series, you would challenge him to beat you with that three. And the other thing is, he only shoots about 61% from the foul line. So as great as he is, I mean, the numbers he's putting up this year, don't even look at the totals. He's averaging like 30, 12 or 13 rebounds and like 7 assists. Don't even worry about those. He's doing that in 32 minutes. Imagine if he was playing 38 minutes and what kind of stats he'd be putting up. But he is a challenged shooter,
sure.
and he's challenged at the line. So you would just push him out and you'd hack him. And I think that the Lakers would feel like they'd have a good fighting chance against the Bucks. I would be interested to see how the Lakers would match up with the 76ers. They play so big, mm-hmm. But their offense is susceptible. And I think the Lakers could get to them with their defense. I really want to see and hope that Joel Embiid could possibly come back for Saturday night's game. But again, I'm going to focus on those three games in March. First week of March, Clippers, Bucks, 76ers. To me, that's going to be a referendum on the Lakers.
Brian, great stuff, man. It is interesting because, you know, they got games coming up. So they play Philly on Saturday. They got the Clippers coming up on Tuesday. But I think there's something to, okay, but what does your roster look like after that trade deadline, after the buyout market? And I know that's mainly why you're targeting those games in March. But it's great stuff, man. Great stuff on everything around the NBA and great stuff on the Lakers. Appreciate you taking some time and hopping on the show.
Thank you, Alan.
We got Brian Windhorst for two segments. Appreciate him doing that. I love talking NBA with Brian. Obviously, he does a great job for ESPN. We come back. Let's do a couple things. Number one, we got our Power Five. Our Power Five is ranking the top five players you'd love to see on the Lakers by the time the trade deadline and the buyout ends. So Funches and I will rank that, and then also we'll do our look ahead, look at what the Lakers got coming up this week, and make our predictions. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA. There's times I don't even want to talk. I just want to listen to the reggae. I just want the reggae to just play out. 3-minute intro of reggae music. All right. We got the Lakers and the Knicks tomorrow. So 3 o'clock will be the pregame show. Myself and MT will start at 3. And then the same thing happens against Brooklyn. We'll start at 3, and I think tip-off will be at 5 against Brooklyn, so we'll have an extended pregame show. So,
are you concerned that the Lakers have a night off in New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I think they have. So they flew in yesterday. I think Billy Mack said they're in New York for 4 nights.
Really? Well, I mean, when I was talking about Kyle Kuzma out on a date with an actress, they were in New York, you know,
yesterday, tonight. Yeah. Tomorrow and Thursday.
Yeah.
Or maybe they leave on Friday, something
like
that.
Too much time in the Big Apple.
That's a lot of time in the Big Apple. All right, let's do our Power Five. This is a topic, and this will be the topic for the next couple of weeks. Top five players you would love to see on this Lakers team by the trade deadline and before the buyout ends. All right, so we're just basically going to rank our top five here. All right, Funches, why don't you start off at number five? Take give it some thought. You got a lot of players that have been either linked to the Los Angeles Lakers or you feel like would be a good fit. What's number five?
Number five. I don't know why this guy has not got a phone call all year from a team or the Lakers or anyone, but Jamal Crawford. Jamal Crawford. I know he's 39 years old. He's old, but he could still score 20 points in his sleep. Okay, and that's exactly what the Lakers need right now. A guy that can create off the dribble and create for his teammates.
You got a personal thing, I feel like, with Jamal Crawford.
I love him.
Yeah.
I love him.
I'll put Derrick Rose in my number five.
All right.
Derrick Rose, this is the problem that we talked about with Derrick Rose. You're going to have to trade for him. So a guy like Jamal Crawford, let's say hypothetically, you can just sign.
Mm-hmm.
But Derrick Rose is putting up numbers. It's not like he's not putting up numbers. We talked about it. Okay, it's in the Eastern Conference. It's on the Knicks or it's on the Pistons.
Uh-huh.
But Derrick Rose is not on the top of my list. I do feel like the Lakers, I want to see somebody with more defensive presence. Derrick Rose is not going to give that to you. I got Derrick Rose at number five for me.
All right, number four, I got Bogdan Bogdanovic from the Sacramento Kings. He's been linked to the Lakers in many trade rumors the last couple weeks, especially for Kyle Kuzma. If that trade was to go down, I'd be all for it. He can shoot the ball, he defends, he can pass the ball. This is what the Lakers need right now.
I got Darren Collison at my number four.
Okay.
I think Collison, by the way, would be a good fit for the Lakers. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And he does fill a void. He is a player that you can get through the buyout. I think part of the reason why maybe the conversation has quieted down about Darren Collison is you got to let things play out a little bit,
yeah.
Right? So what are other teams going to make? What kind of trades are they going to make? What's it going to look like?
And another thing, Alan, he's been out of the league for 7 months. We don't know how good of a shape he's in or what his head is at or anything.
Yeah. I mean, he retired young, right? He retired at 31 or 32 or whatever it was.
He just said, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. He went to practice his faith and kind of become more involved in missions and things along those lines. So obviously he's trying to come back now. So I got Darren Collison number four.
Uh-huh.
Who's your top three? Who you got number three?
Number three, Robert Covington, Minnesota Timberwolves. He's been on everyone's trade radar, and he's exactly like what the Lakers need, like what Bogdan Bogdanovic, Robert Covington does it a lot better, defends better, shoots the three better, and he's a better athlete.
So Bogdanovic is at number three for
me. Okay.
I got Bogdanovic in my top three for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
I also feel like he'd be a player that, let's just say a perfect fit with LBJ.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis.
Like, he's not just going to be a 2 month rental. He'll be here for a while if you got him.
Yeah, Bogdanovic is a nice player in the league. I got him at number three. You had Covington at number three. Is that what you
had? I had Covington at number three.
Okay, who's your number two?
Number two, I had Darren Collison, and we just
told. So you got Collison up on that list.
He's exactly, I've been saying this, I said this about Bogdan and I said it about Covington. Collison is exactly what the Lakers need, another ball handler on the court to get the ball out of LeBron's hand so he can just take over and be scorer LeBron.
And if you get Darren Collison, then you keep Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, that's the most important thing,
too.
You
keep that asset, and you also keep a player that, you know, obviously can still be productive for the Lakers.
Okay.
My number two, Covington.
Yeah.
Covington high on my
list. He's good.
Covington is a remarkably perfect fit for the Lakers. I think can add some toughness to this team as well. I think he's got some grit. I think he's got kind of that, he's old enough has enough experience in the NBA where he can just kind of come right in, fit right in. Where was he in Philly?
He was in Philly and now he's in Minnesota.
I liked him in Philly.
Yeah.
It felt like, you know, they had some playoff runs where he was a player. You're like, yeah, I want that guy on my team.
I think he
but got, I don't know how they get him.
Well, I think Minnesota got him in a Jimmy Butler deal.
But I don't know how the Lakers would get him. So we've heard Covington's name come out, and that's not to say that, you know, the T-Wolves wouldn't say, yeah, we'll take Kuzma, but matching salaries and everything else would be a little complicated.
Yeah.
All right, number one for you, who is
number
it?
Number one, and it's probably number one on your list, Andre Iguodala.
Never heard of him.
Memphis Grizzlies, I don't know why Memphis is holding him hostage.
You know why they're holding him
hostage.
They're
not going to get a number one pick for him.
They'll get what they're looking for. At worst, they're going to get a number two pick. And if it's a number two pick, of course. If it's a second round pick, it's going to be early in the second
round. Well, I think they're looking for either a number one pick or a young asset. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they're going to get that from the Lakers at all. Obviously, they're not going to get a pick. They're not going to get a young asset. But from another team, they might. You never know.
That's the thing. You know, I think, look, teams get desperate this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Teams, there's a lot of pressure.
I know, and start waiting around that first week of February up until the deadline. That's when teams really get desperate.
And Funches, they're desperate because they know they got to chase the Lakers and the Clippers.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with what Memphis is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get what Memphis is doing. I get why they're doing it, and I'm not opposed to it. So you got Iguodala at one. I got Iguodala at one. Every Laker fan's got Iguodala.
Every Laker fan.
And now we got to sit here for a couple weeks and wait to see if Iguodala happens or if he doesn't.
I know. Cross your fingers.
All right. Quick look ahead here. We got to make our quick prediction. Lakers versus the Knicks tomorrow. By the way, you joked around that the Lakers would lose to Orlando and then they lost to Orlando. So this is what I want you to do. I want you not to joke around at all.
All right.
All
okay.
Business tonight.
Okay. All right.
Lakers versus the Knicks tomorrow. Win or lost?
That's an easy win. 40-point win. I'll say that.
All right. It's going to be a win. They're not going to win by 40. They'll get a W. Lakers versus Brooklyn. Win or a loss?
Ooh. Now that's where it gets tough because it's a back-to-back in, you know, that New York, Brooklyn area.
Yep.
So, and Nets are a better team. So, I'll say Lakers and a close win.
Okay. I got the Lakers winning against the Knicks. I got the Lakers beating Brooklyn. Now the Lakers losing to the Philadelphia 76ers.
I got the Lakers losing to Philly too. I think MB comes back and he, you know, he gets pumped to play the Lakers. You know that. We've seen it.
If somebody goes back and listens to this podcast and just takes all my predictions, I've been so bad at these predictions.
So we should just take the opposite and win some money.
Something like that. Something like that. All right, Funches, I appreciate you,
Thank you.
All right, Laker fans, this is what we got coming up tomorrow. By the way, download the Lakers Talk podcast on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Every post-game show that I do, it's on the Lakers Talk page on the app and iTunes. Thank you to Laura Romo Lopez. Thank you to Michael Funches. Tomorrow, make sure you tune in. Starting at 3 o'clock, the pregame show with myself and Michael Thompson. LA, have a great rest of your night.